Now we come to the next and most important aspect of tonight's program, inshallah, and that is the advices that will be rendered. We are extremely fortunate to have in our midst a very, very senior, a great alim, a specialist in the sciences of hadith and tafsir, who has been involved in teaching for many, many decades. Hazrat Mawlana Sulaiman Choksi Sahib, my respected Ustad, Hafizahullah wa Ra'ah, one has to merely look at the areas in which he has gone for lecture tours, spending parts of Ramadan, and see the effects that has been left behind in such areas to fully encapsulate and understand the virtue that Allah Ta'ala blessed him with, as well as, you know, in our tutorship, as our teacher at Darul Ulum Zakaria, he is renowned for his tarbiyah and guiding students in all aspects, in all matters of their lives. So let us inshallah value and appreciate the moments that we'll witness in front of us. They are not easy to come by on a daily basis. Let us take the maximum benefit from the advices that will be rendered inshallah. The talk will be rendered in Urdu, but very, very short excerpts, and simultaneously side by side there will be an immediate translation inshallah.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى الذي بعرضنا حوله لنريه من آياتنا. بزرگان محترم, اللہ تبارک و تعالی نے قرآن پاک میں تین مقام پر معراج اور اسراء کا تذکرہ فرمایا ہے. ایک تو یہی مشہور آیت ہے جس کو پڑھا گیا, جس میں مسجد حرام سے بیت المقدس تک کے سفر کا ذکر ہے. نمبر دو پر سورہ نجم میں پارہ 27 بیت المقدس سے لے کر پہلے آسمان کے بعد ساتویں آسمان تک الگ الگ منزلیں, ساتویں آسمان کے بعد سدرۃ المنتہا, اور سدرۃ المنتہا کے بعد کہاں تک پہنچے اس کا نہ کوئی بیان کر سکتا ہے اور نہ کوئی تصور کر سکتا ہے. یہ کل تین منزلیں ہیں.
After reciting the very famous verse, all respected, most respected and honorable listeners, there are three places in the Quran Kareem where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the incidents of the Isra and the Mi'raj. The first, the very famous verse recited, where Allah ta'ala speaks about the first part of the journey known as the Isra, where in the short space of a night, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went from Al-Masjid al-Haram in Makkah Mukarramah to Bayt al-Muqaddas in Jerusalem. Thereafter in Surah al-Najm, where the Mi'raj, the ascension, is made mention of. And essentially this can be broken up in the parts that going from Baytul Muqaddas, from Jerusalem up to the first heavens, and thereafter ascending all the various heavens going up to the seventh heaven, and above the seventh heaven a very special station in a place known as Sidratul Muntaha, and thereafter to such status and such lofty ranks that no words can encapsulate, no words can make bayan of, and never can the mind comprehend what had transpired thereafter.
تیسری جگہ, وما جعلنا الرؤيا الذي اريناك الا فتنه للناس, کہ جو معراج کا واقعہ ہم نے آپ کو بتلایا اور جو زیارتیں کروائی, اس کا ایک مقصد اس آیت کریمہ میں اشارتاً بیان فرمایا, فتنه للناس, کہ یہ بہت سے انسانوں کے لیے آزمائش اور امتحان بن گیا. اسی لیے نبی پاک صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے جب معراج کے دوسرے دن صبح لوگوں کے سامنے حطیم میں بیٹھ کر اس واقعے کا ذکر کیا تو مکہ کے کافر بہت ہنسے, مذاق اڑایا, استہزاء کیا, حتیٰ کہ امتحان لیا اور امتحان میں ایسی ایسی چیزیں پوچھی جس کو عام طور پر انسان خیال میں نہیں لاتا. خود حدیث مسلم شریف میں روایت ہے کہ انہوں نے مجھ کو سوال کیا کہ اچھا آپ بتلاؤ بیت المقدس کے اندر ونڈو کتنے ہیں, دروازے کتنے ہیں, سیڑھیاں کتنی ہیں, قریب تقربتن. میں ایسا بے چین ہو گیا کہ یا اللہ اس کا کیا جواب دوں, اس کو کون دیکھتا ہے, آپ لوگ اتنی مدت سے یہاں نماز پڑھتے ہیں, اگر اس مسجد میں اس وقت پوچھا جاوے کہ اس مسجد میں کتنے ونڈو ہے, کتنے دروازے ہیں, کتنے اسٹیپ ہے. اللہ تبارک و تعالیٰ نے میرے سامنے بیت المقدس کو بالکل پردے ہٹا دیے اور میں گن گن کر اس کو کہنے لگا, ایک ایک چیز بیان کر دی میں نے. اور وہاں سے وہ ہنستے ہوئے جب نکلے ہیں, ابو جہل جا رہا تھا, حضرت ابوبکر صدیق رضی اللہ تعالیٰ عنہ سامنے سے آ رہے ہیں, ابوبکر ادھر آؤ, ایک بات بتلاؤ کہ اگر کوئی شخص یوں کہے کہ میں رات کے تھوڑے سے حصے میں مکہ سے بیت المقدس, وہاں سے پہلے آسمان, پھر سات آسمان, پھر سدرۃ المنتہا, پھر نہ معلوم کہاں سے کہاں تک پہنچا, آپ اس کو کیا کہو گے؟ ابوبکر صدیق نے یوں کہا کہ یہ کون کہتا ہے, وہ تو بتلاؤ پہلے کس نے کہا ایسا, نہیں تم بتلاؤ یہ سچی بات ہو سکتی ہے یا نہیں, نہیں تم بتلاؤ کس نے کہا کہ یہی تمہارے دوست جن کے ساتھ تم ہر وقت رہتے ہیں, صدقت بالکل سچی بات ہے 100%, وہ گئے ہیں اور جا کر زیارت کر کے آئے ہیں, وہی چیز ان کے لیے کفر کی زیادتی کا ذریعہ بن گیا. اور اس پر ابوبکر صدیق رضی اللہ تعالیٰ عنہ کو صدیق کا لقب ملا کہ سب سے زیادہ بات کو سچا ماننے والا.
And a third place in the Quran Kareem where Allah Ta'ala makes reference to the incidents of that night, the incidents of the Isra and the Mi'raj. وَمَا جَعَلْنَا الرُّؤْيَا الَّتِي أَرَيْنَاكَ إِلَّا فِتْنَةً لِلنَّاسِ, where Allah Ta'ala says the scenes that were shown to you on that night was nothing but a test, an imtihan for people. That the next morning after this great journey, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam sitting in the Hatim of the Kaaba Sharif made mention of this amazing journey that had taken place in a night, the kuffar, the disbelievers, immediately latched onto this opportunity and started making a mockery, a laughing stock of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. There's such a huge distance from here to Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa and thereafter to the seven heavens and even above that in the short space of one night. How is this logically possible? And they made a laughing stock of this. They even went to the extent of testing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, knowing that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam previously was not known to have visited Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa. They posed intricate questions that tell us how many windows in Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa, how many doors in Masjid Al-Aqsa, tell us how many staircases and stairways inside Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa. Now we know that if anybody asks us this question about this masjid that we frequent on a daily basis, most of us would not be able to give the answer to all of these questions. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, I became extremely perturbed, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala miraculously placed Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa right in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he was able to give them the exact answer of all of the questions that they had posed. He gave a detailed description of Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa to these disbelievers. Now, the kuffar, laughing and making a mockery, left the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Jahl, the staunch enemy of Islam, as he was leaving, he came across Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an. He called him, Abu Bakr, come here, come here. And then asked him that if a person has to tell you that in one night he has traveled from here to Jerusalem and thereafter to the seven heavens, what will your response be to such a question or to such a claim? Abu Bakr radiallahu an very, very wisely asked him that tell me who is making this claim. Who has claimed to travel such a journey and such a distance? Let us know. Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu at this stage was unaware of this great journey. Abu Jahl said that the very friend whom you associate with, that is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has made this outrageous claim. Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu asked, is he really saying that he had traveled such a distance? Abu Jahl replied in the affirmative, to which Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu says, if that is the case, then I believe with absolute yaqeen and certainty, undoubtedly he has definitely traveled such a journey if this is his claim. So we see Allah Ta'ala says that this journey was an imtihan, it was a test for people. Abu Jahl, on account of it, went deeper into kufr and in mockery of the Nabi of Allah Ta'ala, while on the other hand, Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was given the title Siddiq, the one who had verified with certainty and without doubt whatsoever on the claim of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. By means of this incident, Allah Ta'ala elevated his status, and it is because of this he is given the great title of Siddiq.
हमारे लिए ये मौका है सिद्दीकियत के मकाम से इबरत हासिल करने का कि जिस तरीके से उन्होंने एक ऐसी बात को जो पूरे मक्का में किसी की समझ में नहीं आ रही थी फकत हजरत नबी पाक सल्लल्लाहु अलैहि वसल्लम की मुबारक जुबान से निकला बस वो सच है और सच हमारी समझ में आवे या ना आवे हमारी अकल में आवे या ना आवे इसी तरीके से पूरा जो दीन है हमारे सामने किताब व सुन्नत फुला चीज कुरान में है फुला बात हदीस में है आजकल फितने चारों तरफ फैले हुए हैं किस्म किस्म के शुकूक शुबहात वसवसे ईमान के अंदर डाले जाते हैं जिसकी वजह से बहुत सी मर्तबा इंसान हिल जाता है जुबान से नहीं तो दिमाग से ख्याल से ऐसी ऐसी चीजें आती है मीडिया की लाइन से इस वक्त इसको सोचे कि मेरे नबी की जुबान से जो कुछ निकला है कुरान में अलिफ लाम से वन्नास तक जितनी चीजें हैं वो सच्ची है मेरी अकल में आवे या ना आवे अल्लाह तबारक व तआला ने इंसान को नफा नुकसान समझने के लिए कुल तीन किस्म की ताकतें दी है
For us, a very important lesson, Siddiqiyat, and this verification of what Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had displayed to us, that logically what seemed far-fetched, he verified with absolute and belief with yaqeen, because it was the claim of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this is Iman. So for us, whatever has been conveyed to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as an integral part of this deen, whether it is by means of the Quran al-Kareem or the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then merely on the basis that my Nabi has said this, then there is absolutely no doubt whatsoever. We believe in it, whether we understand it, whether we cannot comprehend it, whether it conforms to our own desires or not. Once it is verified as a matter of deen, then we believe in it with absolute yaqeen and certainty. We find that in these days, with the various kinds of propaganda in the various media forms, then doubts are being created in the hearts of people. Our response to this is that the entire Quran, from Alif Lam till Wan Nas, we believe in it is absolute truth. Because my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned it, I believe in it without any doubt whatsoever.
Allah Ta'ala ne insaan ko nafa nuksan samajhne ke liye teen qisam ki taqatein di hai. Sabse pehli taqat insaan ke hawas aur mushahada hai. Aankh se dekhta hai, ye rasta hai, ye khadda hai, ye kaanta hai, ye patthar hai. और उससे नफा नुकसान को समझता है कान से सुनता है नफे की चीज ये है नुकसान की चीज ये है जुबान से चखता है ये मीठा है ये कड़वा है खाने के काबिल है नहीं है ये है पहली ताकत कि जिससे इंसान अपनी जिंदगी में नफा नुकसान को समझे और दुनिया इसके ऊपर चलती है इसमें सब चलते हैं حتیٰ کہ انسان تو انسان ہے، ایک بلی بھی یہ سمجھتی ہے کہ یہ گوشت کی بوٹی ہے اور یہ پتھر ہے، وہ بھی سمجھتی ہے، یہ لکڑی ہے اور یہ گھاس ہے، بکری بھی سمجھتی ہے۔ لیکن یہ جو طاقت ہے اس کی ایک لمٹ ہے۔ دنیا کا، اللہ تعالی کی بنائی ہوئی دنیا بہت آگے ہے، وہاں ہماری آنکھیں نہیں پہنچ سکتی۔ ہم نے قبر میں مردے کو دفن کر دیا، مٹی ڈال دی، اب اندر کیا ہو رہا ہے، نہ ہماری آنکھ دیکھے گی نہ ہمارے کان اس کو سنیں گے۔ یہاں ہمیں کہنا پڑے گا کہ نبی کیا کہتے ہیں، اس لیے کہ ہماری آنکھیں وہاں نہیں پہنچ سکتی۔ جہاں آنکھیں نہیں پہنچ سکتی وہاں پھر انسان کام لیتا ہے اپنی عقل سے، یہ دوسری طاقت ہے جو اللہ تعالیٰ نے انسان کو دی ہے، اور اس عقل کے ذریعہ وہ نفع نقصان کو سمجھتا ہے۔ لیکن عقل یہ بھی چونکہ مخلوق ہے، اللہ کی پیدا کی ہوئی نعمت ہے، اس لیے وہ بھی لمیٹڈ ہے، اس کی ایک لمٹ ہے، آگے وہ نہیں پہنچ سکتی عقل۔ مرنے کے بعد کیا ہوا، یہ آدمی مر گیا ہے، اس کی باڈی پڑی ہوئی ہے، اب اس کی روح کہاں گئی اور اس کو کون لے گیا، کہاں لے گئے، اس کو ہماری نہ آنکھیں دیکھ سکتی ہے اور نہ ہماری عقل اس کو سمجھ سکتی ہے۔ اس لیے اللہ تعالی نے نفع نقصان کو سمجھنے کے لیے تیسری چیز دی ہے وحی، کہ وحی کے ذریعہ اللہ نے انبیاء علیہ الصلوۃ والسلام کے واسطے سے جتنے بھی انسانوں کے نفع نقصان کی چیزیں تھیں ان سب کو انسانوں پر کھول دیا۔ لہذا جب ٹکراؤ ہوگا دونوں میں، آنکھ کچھ کہتی ہے وحی کچھ کہتی ہے، عقل کچھ کہتی ہے وحی کچھ کہتی ہے، اس وقت آدمی کو، اس لیے جب عقل اور مشاہدے میں ٹکراؤ ہوتا ہے تو آدمی عقل کو ترجیح دیتا ہے۔ ایک آدمی شوگر کا مریض ہے، اس کے سامنے میٹھی میٹھی قیمتی چیزیں رکھی ہے، اس کی زبان یہ مشاہوا سے ہے، وہ چاہتی ہے کہ اس کو کھا لے، لیکن عقل اس کو کہتی ہے کہ بیٹا اگر کھا لیا تیری ہوا ہو جائے گی، اس لیے وہ عقل کو ترجیح دے گا کہ نہیں میں نہیں کھاتا بھائی، میں شوگر کا پیشنٹ ہوں۔ ایک مشاہدہ ہے، ایک عقل ہے، ٹکراؤ میں عقل کو ترجیح دی۔ اب ان دونوں میں اور وحی میں ٹکراؤ ہو تو بس مومن کے ایمان کی شان یہ ہے کہ وہ وحی کو ترجیح دے۔ یمحق اللہ الربا ویربی الصدقات، ایک مثال، مثلا اللہ کہتے ہیں کہ ربا سے، سود سے مال کم ہوتا ہے اور صدقہ سے مال بڑھتا ہے۔ آپ کی جیب میں 50 روپیے ہے، آپ نے نکال کر کسی کو دیے، اب بتلائیے کہ آپ کی جیب میں یہ کم ہوئے یا زیادہ ہوئے؟ کم ہوئے، لیکن قرآن کہتا ہے کہ بڑھ گئے، قرآن تو کہتا ہے بڑھے، وہی بھی صدقات، وہ تو بڑھا۔ کسی سے سود حرام کا پیسہ لیا اور جیب میں ڈالا تو آپ کے پاس کم ہوئے یا زیادہ ہوئے؟ مشاہدہ کہتا ہے کم، زیادہ ہوئے، لیکن قرآن کہتا ہے کہ کم ہو گئے۔ یہ ایمان اس کو کہتے ہیں۔
Amazing point made here is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in order for a human being to know what is of benefit to me and what is of harm to me, there are three powers that Allah ta'ala has blessed insan and human beings with. The first of these is our 5 physical senses, our sight, our hearing, touch, smell, feeling, etc., that by means of these we are able to distinguish that which is of benefit to us, that which is of harm to us. Our eyes can see that there is a road here or whether there is a ditch that will cause me harm. By means of hearing, we can hear sounds that may denote danger for us or sounds that tells us that it is safe to pass on a certain path. Our tongue and our taste will tell us that something is tasty and another is bitter and it is not palatable to our taste buds. So by means of the 5 senses, to certain extent we are able to distinguish between harm and benefit to us. Now, however, these being the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our 5 senses, and let us know that even animals, because of the five senses, can distinguish benefit and harm. A cat would know that this is a piece of meat or whether this is poison by means of looking at it or tasting or smelling it. A goat would know that this is a piece of grass that I can eat and it is a stick which I cannot eat. However, these are limited and the benefits of deriving harm and benefit are limited. However, the second power that Allah Ta'ala has blessed us with to deduce benefit and harm is by means of intellect, by means of the aql and understanding and intelligence faculty that Allah Ta'ala has blessed a person with. The aql and the intelligence, we know, can enable a person to know benefit from harm. However, the aql and the intellect, being the creation of Allah Ta'ala, also has its limits and has its boundaries. The third faculty and power by which a person can deduce that which is harmful or beneficial to me, and this is the most comprehensive of all, is by means of wahi and revelation. Whatever Allah Ta'ala has revealed to His special servants, Anbiya alayhim as-salatu was-salam, of that which is of benefit and harm to a person in this world and in the hereafter, is that in which there is absolutely no doubt whatsoever, there is absolute yaqeen and certainty in all of these things revealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, when a confrontation takes place, let us say, for example, in the first instance, there is a confrontation between our five senses on the one hand and our aql, our intellect on the other hand, we give preference to aql and intellect. A person who is suffering from sugar diabetes sees beautiful tasting sweetmeats in front of him. Obviously, the inclination would be there to eat of it. The taste buds are yearning for it. However, the aql and the intellect comes to the fore and says that if you decide to eat this, know that you have diabetes, by tomorrow morning your janazah will be gone from here. So one refrains and does not eat from it, giving preference to the intellect over our five senses. So similarly, when there is a confrontation between our aql, intellect, and on one hand, and wahi and what Allah Ta'ala has revealed on the other hand, then we should give preference to that which Allah Ta'ala has revealed by means of wahi. Let us take a simple little example. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran Kareem, يَمْحَقُ اللَّهُ الرِّبَى وَيُرْبِي الصَّدَقَاتِ. By means of riba and interest, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreases the possessionship and the ownership and the blessings of a person. And by means of sadaqah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increases a person. Now if a person takes out 50 rand from our pockets, we give it a sadaqah, our intellect would tell us that I've lost 50 rand, I have become 50 rand poorer. Allah Ta'ala says, this is not the case. وَيُرْبِ الصَّدَقَاتِ, by means of sadaqah and spending this in the way of Allah Ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will increase you in many different ways. So we believe in this with yaqeen and certainty, that though outwardly I may have lost 50 rand, but I have gained in the eyes of Allah Ta'ala, and we give preference to wahi over intellect. The very same ayah says that interest decreases the benefits and the blessings for a person. It may seem that if I take 50 rand of interest from the bank and put it into my pocket, I have become 50 rand richer. But Allah Ta'ala says in His divine words that by means of riba and interest, you are the loser. So we believe in this with absolute yaqeen and certainty. Just as when the aql, the intelligence, and the five senses contradict one another, we give preference to the intellect. So similarly, when the aql and intellect comes into confrontation apparently with wahi and revelation, then we give preference to wahi and revelation.
Isi mi'raj ke ahwal mein ke jab baitul muqaddas par maine nabi pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam irshad farmate hain ke namaz padhi anbiya alaihi musallatu wassalam se mulaqat hui farishton se mulaqat hui kaha main namaz padh kar utha تو میرے ساتھ جبرائیل اور حضرت میکائیل علیہ السلام ساتھ میں ہے سامنے ایک بہت بڑے فرشتے آئے مجھے یوں کہا کہ یہ مالک ہے خازین جہنم داروغا ان سے آپ سلام کیجئے کہا میں جیسے ہی ان کو سلام کرنے کے لیے پڑھا انہوں نے مجھے سلام کیا اس کے بعد جب میں باہر نکلنے کے قریب ہوا تھا دروازے پر حضرت جبرائیل علیہ السلام دو پیالے لے کر کھڑے ہیں کہا بولو کون سا پیالہ چاہیے ایک کے اندر شراب بھری ہوئی تھی اور ایک میں دودھ تھا لیکن بتلایا نہیں کہ کس میں شراب ہے اور کس میں دودھ ہے امتحان تھا उम्मत हिदायत पर बाकी रहेगी या नहीं रहेगी उसका, क्या बस अल्लाह ने मुझे ये तौफीक दी कि मैंने वो प्याला उठाया जिसके अंदर दूध था और उसको मैंने पी लिया। हजरत जिब्राइल अलैहिस्सलाम ने मुझे बशारत दी इस मौके पर कि ये आपकी उम्मत की हिदायत के लिए बहुत बड़ी बशारत है कि ये हिदायत का सिलसिला उम्मत में खत्म नहीं होगा। बनी इसराइल हजरत ईसा अलैहिस्सलाम के आसमान पर उठाने के 85 ईयर्स के बाद उम्मत गुमराह हो गई, सब खत्म। आसमानी जो इल्म, आसमानी इबादतें, वही की जो चीजें थी उनमें से खत्म हो गई। 100 साल तक उस उम्मत में हिदायत बाकी नहीं रही, 100 साल तक। और यहां 1432 साल के बाद भी कमजोरियां हर जगह पर है, उससे इनकार नहीं, उम्मत में कमजोरियां हर जगह पर, लेकिन अल्हम्दुलिल्लाह अल्हम्दुलिल्लाह ये बात दलालत करती है कि अपने नबी की मोहब्बत कल्ब के अंदर हर मोमिन के साथ, हर मोमिन के साथ। एक मरतबा एक हदीस में आता है, ला युमिनु अहदुकुम हत्ता अकुन अहब्ब इलैहि मिन वलदिही व वालिदिही वन्नास अजमाइन। मुस्लिम शरीफ की रिवायत है कि जब तक बीवी बच्चे औलाद सबसे ज्यादा मोहब्बत नबी की तुम्हारे दिल के अंदर नहीं पैदा होगी वहां तक तुम्हारा ईमान पक्का नहीं कहा जाएगा। ये एक हदीस है कि तुम्हारा ईमान मुकम्मल हो गया उस वक्त कहा जाएगा जब के बीवी बच्चे मां बाप सबसे ज्यादा नबी की मोहब्बत ज्यादा हो। मौलाना अशरफ अली थानवी रहमतुल्लाह अलैह की मजलिस में एक शख्स ने सवाल किया इस पर कि हजरत ऐसा तो हम नहीं देखते हैं, हमारे दिल में बच्चों की, औलाद की, बीवी की, घर वालों की मोहब्बत बहुत ज्यादा है। उसका मतलब यह हुआ कि हम में से किसी का ईमान कामिल है ही नहीं, हम सब अधूरे हैं। तो मौलाना ने क्या बात फरमाई, क्यों कहा ऐसी बात नहीं है, हर ईमान वाले के दिल में नबी की मोहब्बत ज्यादा है, लेकिन चूंकि बीवी बच्चे औलाद ये हर वक्त सामने है इसलिए दिल में एहसास ज्यादा है। और हजरत नबी पाक सल्लल्लाहु अलैहि वसल्लम हमारी नजरों के सामने नहीं है इसलिए वो एहसास नहीं है। फिर यूं पूछा, अच्छा बतलाओ एक बात, अगर इस वक्त तुम्हारा बेटा नबी को गाली दे दे तुम क्या करोगे? कहा अभी कत्ल कर दूंगा, उसको शूट कर दूंगा। यही तो है, अगर आपकी बीवी नबी की शान में, हजरत नबी पाक सल्लल्लाहु अलैहि वसल्लम की शान में गुस्ताखी करे तुम क्या करोगे? तो इसको घर से आउट कर दूंगा इसी वक्त। यही तो है, जब मुकाबला होता है मोहब्बत में उस वक्त पता चल रहा है कि अल्लाह के रसूल की मोहब्बत ज्यादा है या घर वालों की मोहब्बत ज्यादा है। इसलिए हर ईमान वाले के दिल के अंदर अल्लाह के नबी की और अल्लाह की मोहब्बत सबसे ज्यादा होती है, लेकिन चूंकि ये हमारे नजरों के सामने नहीं है इसलिए उसका एहसास कम होता है।
One of the many incidents on the great journey of Isra and Mi'raj is that when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa, met the Anbiya alayhim as-salatu was-salam, led them in salah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also met the two great angels, Jibril and Mikail alayhim as-salam, and they also introduced Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to an angel known as Malik, who is the doorkeeper of the fire of Jahannam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made salam to him as well. Thereafter, Jibril alayhi salatu was salam, as a subtle test, presented two cups to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He did not know what was the contents of these cups. We know that one had milk and the other had wine. Now without knowing this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to choose the one that had milk in it, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam drank of it. This was a glad tidings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's side that this ummah as an entire ummah shall never go astray from the deen of Islam. Had Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam drank from the wine, it would have denoted being led astray at some point, and drinking milk, which is an original state, denoted that this ummah large portions of it and the majority would remain on hidayat and guidance for all times to come. And if we really study this matter very, very closely, we see that on one hand in Christianity, after Sayyidina Isa alayhi salatu wasalam had been elevated to the heavens, only 85 years thereafter, the entire Christendom had been led astray. No pure sense of Christianity remained as per the divine teachings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to Sayyidina Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. The entire deen had been altered and changed. So not even a century had passed when they were led astray as an ummah from the straight path. In the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we find on the other hand, 1,432 years have passed. That yes, there are weaknesses in the ummah undoubtedly, but the ummah at large in general terms remains on hidayah and on the deen. The very fact that we are sitting in such a place, in this masjid, worshipping Allah Ta'ala as revealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is a clear pointer to the fact that this ummah at large has remained on hidayah with the passing of the annals and the passages of time. So this is a very, very great ummah, great glad tidings. One incident in the lifetime of one of the pious predecessors, a very famous hadith in Muslim Sharif where our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that none of you shall attain perfect iman until I am more beloved to him than his wife and his children and more than any other human being. Now, a person was sitting in the company of a very great scholar, great alim, as Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thanwi rahimahullah, and when he heard this hadith, he says that Hazrat, it seems to me that when I compare my love for my wife and my children, apparently seems to be more than that for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and I'm sure this is the case with many of us, that outwardly this would be the case in all of our lives or the most of our lives. Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thanwi rahimahullah gave a brilliant answer and said that this is not the reality, scratch a little deeper beyond the surface and the reality will come to the fore. It seems to you that your wife and your children are more beloved because you are seeing them in front of you, you are interacting with them on a daily basis, whereas we do not have Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in our company and with us at all times. But compare the two when they come into confrontation with one another. If tomorrow that very same son who you claim is so beloved to you, if he has to, na'udhu billah, mention statements cursing or speaking ill of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what would you do? He says, I will not even spare his life, I will kill him for the love of my Nabi. Tomorrow if your wife has to start mentioning statements degrading the status of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what would you do? I would immediately terminate my marriage and get her out of the home. So he says that look at it, when it comes into confrontation, then the reality comes to the fore, is that your love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam supersedes your love for anything else. And this is great glad tidings for this ummah, that as long as we have the muhabbat and the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in our hearts, then this is an integral part of our iman that ensures that we remain connected to hidayat and the true guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as promised on that great night of Mi'raj.
Allah tabarak wa ta'ala ne نبی پاک صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کے اعجاز اور اکرام میں انبیاء علیہ السلام کو بیت المقدس پر بھی اور آسمانوں پر بھی جمع فرمایا. فرماتے تھے کہ جب میں پہلے آسمان پر ہم پہنچے ہیں, حضرت جبرائیل علیہ السلام نے آسمان کا دروازہ کھلوایا تو وہاں آدم علیہ السلام میرے استقبال میں کھڑے تھے. انہوں نے سلام کیا, دعائیں دی. دوسرے آسمان پر جب ہم پہنچے ہیں تو وہاں حضرت عیسیٰ علیہ السلام اور حضرت یحییٰ علیہ السلام دو پیغمبر استقبال میں کھڑے تھے. تیسرے آسمان پر جب پہنچے ہیں تو وہاں سیدنا یوسف علیہ السلام کی ملاقات ہوئی. مسلم شریف کی روایت میں ہے فَإِذَا هُوَ قَدْ أُوتِيَ شَطْرَ الْحُسْنِ, یوسف علیہ السلام سے میری ملاقات ہوئی, میں نے ان کو دیکھا کہ جتنا حسن اور جمال انسانوں میں تقسیم ہوا ہے اس کا آدھا حصہ سیدنا یوسف علیہ السلام کو اللہ نے دیا. تیسرے آسمان پر ان سے ملاقات ہوئی. چوتھے آسمان پر سیدنا ادریس علیہ السلام سے ملاقات ہوئی. پانچویں پر حضرت ہارون علیہ السلام سے ملاقات ہوئی اور چھٹے پر حضرت موسیٰ علیہ السلام سے ملاقات ہوئی اور ساتویں پر سیدنا ابراہیم علیہ السلام سے ملاقات ہوئی. اس کے بعد سدرۃ المنتہیٰ کے آگے پھر میں گیا, اللہ تبارک و تعالیٰ سے کلام بھی ہوا اور اللہ کو میں نے دیکھا بھی. جو انعام اس موقع پر اللہ تعالیٰ کی طرف سے نبی پاک کو اور آپ کے وسیلے سے امت کو ملے ہیں وہ کیا ہے, ہمیں کیا ملا؟ نمبر ایک, نماز. اتنے خوش تھے کہ خوشی کے مارے بات خیال نہیں کیا کہ 50 نمازیں پڑھو گے کہاں پڑھیں گے, امت پڑھے گی تو کہاں پڑھے گی. ٹھیک ہے, جاؤ پھر لے جاؤ اور جا کر امت کو کہہ دینا کہ معراج میں ہمارے لیے کیا لائے کہ 50 نمازیں آپ کے لیے لائے. نبی پاک صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم فرماتے ہیں کہ جب میں واپس ہوا ہوں تو چھٹے آسمان پر موسیٰ علیہ السلام پھر ملی, کیا دیا؟ نمازیں دی. کتنی؟ 50. 50 نمازیں. انی خبرت بنی اسرائیل, میں نے بنی اسرائیل کو بہت آزمایا ہے, دو وقت کی نمازیں ان کے اوپر فرض تھی اس کو بھی نہیں ادا کیا, 50 کون پڑے گا؟ جاؤ جا کر کہو. کہ میں پھر واپس گیا, میں نے کہا یا اللہ خفف علی امتی, میری امت کے لیے تھوڑا سا آسانی کر دیجیے, 50 بہت زیادہ ہے. کہتا چلو 5 ہم نے کم کر دی. پھر آئے, پھر موسیٰ علیہ السلام پوچھ رہے کیا ہوا, 5 کم کر دی اور جاؤ نہیں پڑھیں گے. میں پھر گیا, یا اللہ خفف علی امت, یا رب میری امت کے لیے آسانی کر دیجیے. کہ آتا گیا جاتا گیا, آتا گیا جاتا گیا, 5 5 5 5 یہاں تک کہ 5 باقی رہی. یہ 9 مرتبہ آنا جانا ہوا, ملاقات زیارت ہوئی, کلام ہوا, وہ تو کلام کا بہانہ, 9 مرتبہ میں کلام ہوا. پھر یوں فرمایا کہ موسیٰ یا محمد, یہ 5 نمازیں ہیں, ما یبدل القول لدیا, میرے یہاں بات بدلتی نہیں ہے, اسی لیے میں نے آپ کی امت کے لیے ایک قانون یہ بنا دیا ہے کہ 5 پڑھیں گے 50 لکھیں گے, ان کے اکاؤنٹ میں 50 لکھی جائے گی. 5 پڑھیں گے 50 لکھیں گے, 5 پڑھیں گے 50 لکھیں گے. ایک انعام تو یہ دیا.
What else had happened on this great night? Allah Ta'ala honored Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with a meeting of all the Anbiya alayhim as-salatu was-salam on 2 occasions on this night. One in Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa, where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam led them in salah as Imamul Anbiya. And thereafter in the heavens, once again Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the various heavens had met the various Anbiya alayhim as-salatu was-salam together with Jibreel alayhi as-salam while ascending. They knocked on the first door, or the door of the first heaven. Sayyidina Adam alayhi salatu wassalam, warm welcome, greeting and making dua for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He went further, in the second heavens they had met Sayyidina Isa and Yahya alayhi salam, 2 great Anbiya alayhi salatu wassalam. Thereafter, in the third heavens, met Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salatu wassalam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam also describes and says that all the beauty that had been granted to the entire humanity, it seems as if half of the beauty of the entire humanity had been put into Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salatu wassalam for the beautiful and good looks that Allah Ta'ala had blessed him with. Thereafter he met in the fourth heaven Sayyidina Idris alayhi salam, in the fifth Sayyidina Harun alayhi salam, in the sixth Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, in the seventh heaven Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam. Thereafter Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam ascended further to a specific point known as the Sidratul Muntaha. And thereafter Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam proceeded alone to go into communication directly with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was blessed with the great countenance of seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as behoves the great being of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And on this monumental occasion, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave some special gifts to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and by extension, these are gifts through the barakah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to this entire ummah. The first and foremost and the greatest gift that was given was salah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a special gift to himself and this ummah that you and your ummah should perform 50 namazes on a daily basis. Such was the joy and happiness experienced by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the ecstasy of the moment and this great gift that had been conferred upon him when he was asked, will you and your ummah fulfill this duty? And without realizing that this may be very difficult, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in extreme joy and happiness, responded in the affirmative that yes, we will. And with the gift of 50 namazes, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came down when he met Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam on his return on the sixth heaven. Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam asked, what have you been granted? What is the gift given to you on this great night? He says, 50 namazes for me and my ummah. Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam says that take my words to heart. I have had many, many years of experience working with the Bani Israel. They had been commanded with only 2 salah on a daily basis, which they found difficult to put to practice. This 50 will be extremely difficult on your ummah. So go back and make a request for a reduction. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam went back with the utmost humility, requesting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reduce this great command for his ummah. It was reduced by 5, it came down to 45. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam returned once again. Musa alayhi salam once again said to him that this is too many, go and ask for a reduction. And on 9 occasions, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went back and humbly requested a reduction, and each time 5 salahs were lessened. This was in reality an opportunity for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to go back time and again into communication with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the highest level of love and profuse muhabbat in the heart of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, until such time, after the 9th occasion, it was reduced down to only 5 salahs. Allah Ta'ala said to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that no word once I have given is ever changed. And I record for you and your ummah that they will perform 5 times daily salah. But in my eyes, it is recorded as if they are performing 50 salahs on a daily basis. So the first and greatest gift that was granted to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and by extension this ummah, is this great gift of salah, the gift of namaz.
نمبر دو اس کے طفیل میں تمام اعمال صالحہ کے لیے ایک قانون من جاء بالحسنت فلہو عشر امثالیہ یہ بھی معراج ہی کے انعام میں سے ہے کہ اب باقی جتنے بھی نیک اعمال ہے وہ سارے کے سارے نیک اعمال میں آپ کی امت کے لیے ایک دیں گے 10 لکھیں گے ایک کریں گے 10 لکھیں گے تنہا نماز میں نہیں ابتدا کی نماز سے اور پھر سارے اعمال کے اندر یہ قانون بنا دیا یہ نمبر دو نمبر تین اوتی تو خواتیم سورۃ البقرہ اور سورہ بقرہ کے اندر اخیری جو آیتیں ہیں اس میں 3 مضمون ہیں ایک مضمون یہ ہے کہ آپ کی امت کسی بھی امتی سے خطا سے اگر کوئی کام ہو جائے گا تو اس کا گناہ نہیں لکھا جائے گا نسیان سے کوئی کام ہو جائے گا اس کا گناہ نہیں لکھا جائے گا یہ معاف خطا نسیان معاف ربنا ولا تحمل علینا اسرن کما حملتہو جیسے اگلی امتوں کے اوپر سخت احکام آئے تھے ویسے سخت احکام آپ کی امت کو نہیں دیے جائیں گے یہ ایک اور انعام دیا خطا معاف ہے نسیان معاف ہے اور امت کے لیے جو احکام آئیں گے وہ آسان سے آسان احکام ہم دیں گے یہ بھی نبی پاک صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کے صدقے میں ہمیں ملا ہے جب آپ وہاں پہنچے ہیں تو آپ نے اللہ تبارک و تعالی کی شان میں التحیات للہ والصلوات والطیبات السلام والطیبات یہ اتنا جملہ آپ نے کہا التحیات للہ والصلوات والطیبات تمام قولی عبادتیں اللہ کے لیے، تمام بدنی عبادتیں اللہ کے لیے، تمام مالی عبادتیں اللہ کے لیے، اس طریقے سے آپ نے اللہ کی حمد و ثنا کی۔ ادھر سے سلام آیا، السلام علیکم ایوہ النبی ورحمت اللہ وبرکاتہ، یہ اللہ کی طرف سے آیا، سلام کیا سلام، اور امت کو حکم دیا یا ایھا الذین آمنوا صلوا علیہ وسلموا تسلیما، کہ نبی کے اوپر سلامی بھی پڑھو اور صلات بھی پڑھو۔ تو کہاں پڑھے؟ صحابہ نے پوچھا کہ یا رسول اللہ درود تو آپ نے ہمیں سکھلا دیا، یہ اللہ تعالیٰ فرما رہے ہیں صلوا علیہ وسلموا تسلیما کہ نبی کے اوپر سلام پڑھو، تو ہم کیا کریں؟ نبی پاک صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے سکھلایا سلامی پڑھنے کا طریقہ، کہ سلامی پڑھنے کا طریقہ اللہ کے نبی نے جو صحابہ کو سکھلایا وہ یہ ہے کہ جب تیری نماز ختم ہو جاوے اور تو قعدے میں بیٹھ جاوے تو اس وقت پڑھنا السلام علیکم ایھا النبی ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ، تو نے اپنے نبی کو سلام کیا۔ روزانہ جتنی مرتبہ قعدہ کرے السلام علیکم ایھا النبی ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ، اس طریقے سے تو سلام کرنا۔ جب ادھر سے سلام آیا، نبی پاک صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کو اپنی امت یاد آ گئی کہ اللہ میری امت کے لیے کیا، میرے لیے تو سلامتی ہو گئی، تو آپ نے کہا السلام علینا وعلی عباد اللہ الصالحین، تمام نیک بندوں کے اوپر سلامتی۔ اس طریقے سے ہر نماز کے اختتام پر معراج کا واقعہ یاد دلایا جاتا ہے کہ یہ ہے مومن کی معراج، اسی لیے نماز کو الصلاۃ معراج المؤمن فرمایا۔
The second great gift that was granted to the Ummah on this night, just as in Salah, for each Salah performed the reward is multiplied 10 times. This is not restricted to Salah, but for this Ummah, Allah Ta'ala in His relationship with us has promised that any good deed a person does, saying a good word, doing a good act, spending some wealth in the path of Allah, then everything is multiplied 10-fold. The reward of every action for this Ummah as a speciality is multiplied 10 times. The third great gift that Allah Ta'ala had blessed the Ummah with on this night and granted to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was that it was on this great night that Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was granted the concluding verses of Surah Al-Baqarah. Now just away from the translation, we know the concluding verses of Surah Al-Baqarah, آمن الرسول بما أنزل إليه من ربه والمؤمنون. We are encouraging the hadith to recite these words every night, at some time at night before sleeping, to recite these words. Now, if we look at these verses that was given as a special favor to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam on this great occasion, then essentially they deal with three subjects that tells us three additional favors that was granted to this ummah. One is that when this ummah happens to commit an act in error, when this ummah happens to commit an action in error or mistakenly, then it will not be recorded as a sin and it will not count against the name of a person. Secondly, when a person forgetfully does something wrong, when there is some neglect of the command of Allah Ta'ala in absolute forgetfulness, then once again a person will not be taken to task for this. And the third great subject mentioned here is that Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala's every command for this ummah is extremely easy to put to practice. Every injunction of Allah Ta'ala to this ummah, unlike previous nations where there was extreme severity on instances because of their relationship with Allah Ta'ala, as a special favor to this ummah, Allah Ta'ala has made every command and injunction in this deen one that is really easy to put to practice. So Allah Ta'ala overlooks our faults, our mistakes, and has conferred us commands that are very, very easy to put to practice. Now, it was also on this night when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had beheld the great countenance of Allah Ta'ala that our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam uttered words of immense praise, At-tahiyyatu lillahi wa-salawatu wa-tayyibat, that all forms of worship and all forms of dedication, whether it is at-tahiyyat in a verbal sense, wa-salawat, all forms of bodily actions of worship to Allah Ta'ala, and all forms of financial dedication by means of spending, then all of these are only for Allah. Whether it is by means of our wealth, by means of our bodies, or by means of our tongues, then all of these are dedicated only and solely unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited these great words of praise, Allah ta'ala responded to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, As-salamu alayka ayyuhan nabiyyu wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Peace be upon you, O the Nabi, and Allah ta'ala's mercies and his blessings be upon you. Yeah, we are taught the means of making salam to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah ta'ala commands us in the Quran Kareem with two things. Sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. That it says salawat and durood. Now the Sahabas told Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we know how to confer durood, but we Allah commands us to make salam. How do we make salam to you? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the words mentioned in At-Tahiyyat, that every time you recite these words of At-Tahiyyat at the end of our salah, we are constantly making salam and saying As-salamu alayka ayyuhan nabiyu wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thereafter, the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was attached to his beloved Ummah, and even on that monumental occasion, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not forget us, did not forget this Ummah, and said, fine, salam and peace be upon me, but what about my adherents, what about my followers? When the words then came, As-salamu alayna wa ala ibadillahi s-salihin, that peace be upon us and also on all the pious servants in this Ummah. So at the end of Salah, we're actually making dua for all of those people who have beautified themselves with the quality of piety, with the quality of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So every time we perform Salah and we come to the end of our Salah, we are reminded of this great occasion of Mi'raj. And in other words, we are actually saying that when we go and perform the Salah, this is our Mi'raj 5 times a day. 5 times we go into communication, into communion with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so it is said that Salah is the Mi'raj of a mu'min, that he goes into direct communication with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Ye humari aur aapki yahan majlis aur baithna Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ki muhabbat mein, Allah isme aur barkat naseeb farmaye. Lekin mere dosto, akhiri baat main keh do ki har cheez ka ek मीटर होता है जांचने के लिए परखने के लिए हमें अल्लाह के नबी से मोहब्बत है ये जुबान से हमने कहा अब ये कितनी हद तक है मेरे लिबास मेरे बाल मेरी हेयर स्टाइल लिबास की स्टाइल चलने की फर्नीचर की शादी की बिजनेस की उसमें कितना फिट हो रहा है नबी पाक सल्लल्लाहु अलैहि वसल्लम की हयात और आपकी मुबारक जिंदगी के ऊपर मोमिन हर हाल में मोमिन चाहे वो एहराम का कपड़ा पहन रहा है या शादी का कपड़ा पहन रहा है एहराम का कपड़ा पहनते वक्त तो वो सब कुछ पूछेगा वाइट होना चाहिए यहां से निकलना चाहिए यूं करना चाहिए शादी का कपड़ा बनाएगा नहीं पूछा कि मौली साहब जरा देख लो ये कैसा है वुजू करते वक्त वक्त भी मोमिन और तिजारत के टेबल के ऊपर जब बैठा है उस वक्त भी मोमिन 5 वक्त अल्लाह से दुआ मांगी इहदिन सिरात अल मुस्तकीम ए अल्लाह मुझे सिरात मुस्तकीम पर चलाना ए अल्लाह मुझे सिरात मुस्तकीम पर चलाना और मस्जिद से बाहर निकलकर बाजार में गया मॉल में गया टेबल पर बैठा अब वो दुआ कहां गई सिरात मुस्तकीम ये जो कर रहा है वो सिरात मुस्तकीम है शादी के हॉल में गया सिरात मुस्तकीम कहां है अभी तो अल्लाह से कह रहा था अल्लाह पाक मुझे सिरात मुस्तकीम पर चलाना इसलिए मेरे दोस्तों एक कदम और आगे बेशक ये मोहब्बत भी ये चिंगारी जो मोहब्बत की है वो भी काम आएगी लेकिन ऐसा ना हो कि हम सीढ़ी के बीच में खड़े रह जावे ऊपर चढ़ना है सीढ़ी के बीच में ना खड़े रहे ऊपर चढ़ जावे अभी कुछ और थोड़ा सा करना है अल्लाह ताला अमल करने की तौफीक नसीब फरमावे और हमारे और आपके जमा होने को कबूल फरमावे वाखिर दावाना अलहम्दुलिल्लाह रब्बिल आलमीन
In the concluding most beautiful words, we know that the ultimate reason for us sitting here with the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala is for the muhabbat and the love of our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. undoubtedly our sitting here testifies to the fact that we have profound and sincere love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. However, as for everything else, there is a barometer, a means by which we can check ourselves, by which we can take account and take stock of ourselves. Undoubtedly, verbally, we claim that we love Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and now to ascertain how much has this love transcended into the depths of our heart, it manifests itself in obedience and emulation of the Mubarak ways of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in all the following mannerisms: in my outer appearance, my dress code, my hairstyle, my outer appearance, how much of the Mubarak ways of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam do I have in myself. Similarly, in my conduct in business, in my social life, in my wedding functions, in the way I conduct myself, in social interaction with other human beings, in short, in every aspect of my life, in my home, my simplicity, my manner of sleeping, eating, drinking, every matter of my life, how much conformity is there to the Mubarak way and the perfect sunnah of our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A mu'min is a mu'min, a believer in every condition. We are a believer when we put on the ihram for Hajj and Umrah. We are also a believer at the time of hosting or attending a wedding function. However, we find that generally, when we have to put on the ihram, then we will ask minute details. Should the color be white? How should I put it on? Under which arm should my ihram go? But when we are sewing the wedding dress, do we go and ask with the same minute details, does this conform to Sharia or not? When I'm hosting the wedding function, is my hosting of this function in conformity with the Mubarak way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam or not? Similarly, when we make wudu, we will take absolute care to the minute details, and this is a very, very praiseworthy action. However, the moment I go and sit down in my business or in my profession, then how compliant am I to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? So we find that a mu'min is a mu'min in every condition. 5 times a day or in our salah, in every rakat, we are saying, oh Allah, guide me towards the straight path. But when we then go after that, sit in our businesses, sit in our professions, in our wedding functions, etc., then let us see to what extent have we really practically put to what we have asked Allah Ta'ala to guide us to the straight path, and that is the path of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Undoubtedly, even the spark of iman is definitely not without benefit, but let us take it a step further. Let us not climb the stairway halfway and wait there and not go to the top. Let us then ascend fully in our love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and complete implementation of the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the emulation of the Mubarak ways of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in all aspects of our lives, and in this way take the great lesson of for which we have sat and gathered here tonight, and that is in the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us now put to practice and take it a step further. We will all try to do that, inshallah. May Allah ta'ala guide one and every one of us who are sitting here and accept us for this great purpose, inshallah.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب اللهم عافنا من كل بلاء الدنيا وعذاب القبر وعذاب الآخرة اللهم إنا نسألك تمام العافية ودوام العافية والشكر على العافية ونسألك الغنى عن الناس اللهم بارك لنا فيما أعطيتنا ولا تنزع منا صالح ما أعطيتنا اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من زوال نعمتك وتحول عافيتك وفجاءة نقمتك وجميع سخطك اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من عذاب جهنم ونعوذ بك من عذاب القبر ونعوذ بك من فتنة المسيح الدجال ونعوذ بك من فتنة المحيا والممات اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من الفتن ما ظهر منها وما بطن. ربنا اغفر لنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين الذين آمنوا ربنا إنك رؤوف رحيم اللهم طهر قلوبنا من النفاق وأعمالنا من الرياء وألسنتنا من الكذب وأعيننا من الخيانة فإنك تعلم خائنة الأعين وما تخفي الصدور رب أعط نفوسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها اللهم طهر قلوبنا عن غيرك ونفر قلوبنا بنور معرفتك ونفر قلوبنا بنور معرفتك اللهم إنا نسألك رزاك والجنة ونعوذ بك من سخطك والنار اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد صلاة تنجينا بها من جميع الأهوال والآفات وتقضي لنا بها جميع الحاجات وتطهرنا بها من جميع السيئات وترفعنا بها إنك على الدرجات وتبلغنا بها أقصى الغايات من جميع الخيرات في الحياة وبعد الممات إنك على كل شيء قدير ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم بفضلك وكرمك يا أرحم الراحمين
We express our extreme gratitude, heartfelt gratitude towards Maulana for this most valuable advices. His time is extremely, extremely valuable. He has taken out his special time to be with us. We say Jazakumullah khairan. Hum tahe dil se Azad ke shukar guzar aur mamnoon hain ki Azad ne apne qeemti waqt nikal karke hame ye bahut sunehri nasihatein bakhshi. Jazakumullah khairan.